Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hey, this is Sandy James. Welcome to Breathing Room. It is Sandy James and Mariah Ball-Weber.
Hello there.
And you are joining in another conversation of ours this week. Tell me how you're liking these. I would love to hear some more feedback from you as to what you're hearing from us, how it's working for you, what is not working for you. We would love to hear it. You can contact us at breatheretreat.life. And there's a contact page on that website. You can let us know that you're listening. You can subscribe to this podcast. Breathing Room is becoming known on Alexa. I found that out the other day. People are saying, hey, Alexa, play Breathing Room, and she'll find it for you and play it. That is amazing.
So fun.
Amazing.
I love that.
We're being heard in India. We're being heard all over the U.S., all over Alaska, the Philippines.
Yeah. Germany, the UK,
Europe,
Japan.
Yeah, so all over the place. I had a board meeting the other day, and we talked about how far the podcast is reaching and what is happening there. So if you are hearing us, it would help us if you would give us some feedback and let us know what you think. Are you new to the program? This is, I think, our number 14th program or something like that. You should go back and binge listen and let me know what you think, because really it's just a discussion of what's on our mind, and it's really an interview platform as well with people that I know that have broken through some major areas of their lives. So we would love to hear from you. God bless you today. Okay, today, since we've just gotten through hopelessness and our nation is coming through hopelessness, the next thing that I hear in my spirit is the restoration of all things. In Acts 3:21, let me get there. You can get there in your Bible as well.
This has become one of my very, very favorite verses.
Yeah, this one is super important to us. It says, let's see, what does it say? Where is it? Oh, now I have to get my glasses. But it says, this is not what we think of when we think of the end times, is it? It says, 3:20, it says, or 19, it says, repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom, verse 21, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. So how long does Jesus stay in heaven? Can anyone tell me? How long does Jesus stay in heaven? In the Passion, it says he must remain in heaven until the restoration of all things has taken place, fulfilling everything that God said long ago through his holy prophets. Jesus does not stay in heaven, according to that scripture, until everything is burned up. And until we're crying out and he rescues us from a fallen planet and he gets us out of the very lap of death itself.
This is the last plane out of planet Earth.
That's right.
That's
not what the scripture says. Mm-mm. It says he will remain in heaven until the restoration of all things has taken place. Did you hear what I just told you?
Wow.
So what are we experiencing right now? If Jesus is coming soon, and brethren, I believe he is coming soon, we are experiencing the process of the restoration of all things.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
Which, okay, can we take a look at that for a second mm-hmm. here? When you're restoring something, mm-hmm. it's not like, I guess whenever I think about that, like, oh, the Lord's going to restore my family, or he's going to restore this or that. It's so amazing, and it's like we're all going to wake up one day and everything's going to be wonderful.
Instantly.
You know?
Perfect. Or you restore a car.
Or right.
Or a house.
But the thing is, it's a process. Mm-hmm. And when you restore, say, a house, you have to take out rotted out support beams and mm-hmm. floors that have mold underneath them.
You have to clean out the roaches.
Yes, you've got to. It's really a lot of work and a lot of pressing through and being faithful to that thing.
And keeping the vision in front of you.
Yes.
That you started out with when you broke into this project.
That's exactly right.
So you and I are living at the last of the last days, because if in the book of Acts it says these are the last days, Acts chapter 2, then you and I are definitely in the laster of the last days. Yes. And so we are further along in the process of the restoration of all things, because when that happens, Jesus will be released from heaven and can come capture this glorious church. Not capture in a kidnapping sort of way, but come take us to himself as a glorious church.
Yeah.
Not as a bride that's beat up before her wedding day, but as a bride who is glorious and prepared for the coming king.
Right, and she knows who she is.
She knows who she is.
Yeah.
She is confident about who she is. So if we talk about the process of restoration, what does that look like for you? What does that look like in you? Because we can talk about the nation, brothers and sisters, and can I just take a commercial break for just a second and tell you that what you're seeing in our nation, if you live in the U.S., if you live in other nations, you're going to see it in your nation too, because I'm believing God for your nation. But in the U.S., what you are seeing in our nation is not what is. Things are not as they appear. Can I just give you a brief little hint that covert operations are covert? By definition, that means you're not going to see them. So what it looks like on the outside is not what the Lord is actually doing. He is covertly operating through all kinds of means, through all kinds of people, through all kinds of organizations. They are working behind the scenes, and he will bring about the rebirth of our nation. The Lord asked me this the other day. He asked me this the other day. I was seeking the Lord about Breathe, actually, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I was seeking the Lord about Breathe and about the election and about the inauguration that was about to take place. And he said, Sandy, he interrupted me. I love it when the Lord interrupts me. And he said, can a nation be reborn in a single day? And I knew that's in Isaiah 66. Can a nation be born in a day? But he reworded it for me and he said, can a nation be reborn in one single day? And I said, well, I think so. And he said, yes. He said, you will see your nation born again in one day. Reborn, recreated, refounded in a single day.
Well, and I think what we're also realizing and what we're living through right now, and this is whether you're in America or elsewhere, the Lord wants to restore the earth, the restoration
everything.
Of all things.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
This is you too. But, okay, so revival, right? Revival is here. Revival is coming mm-hmm. in more and more layers as we're seeing it. And mm-hmm. it is so amazing to watch it and to be part of it.
And to dig into it and watch it happen.
But part of what revival is, so it's not just a revival of souls and spirits. And it is that. But that's like the starting point.
Yeah.
Because from there, we're reviving callings. And we're recreating destinies. And so this is in churches. This is in cities. This is in city councils, in congress rooms, in places where decisions about a state or your country is being made to glorify God. That's the whole thing. God wants his body, the body of Christ, to rule and reign in his will, mm-hmm. in his purposes.
Just like him.
Just like him. That's exactly right. So it's not like, well, revival's coming and we're going to have this great time in the church or in the park and people are going to get saved and then it's kind of going to end there. That's like the foundation. Like, that's why this is, you know, the third great awakening is coming, okay?
It's here.
Really, it's here.
We're living in it right now.
But it's not is one tent meeting, and then you think back to that tent meeting for the rest
for
of 50 your life.
Years. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not that.
See, it's bigger than that. And that's what the Lord, when I was crying, and I am every day crying out for this nation, because I know what I see, and I know what the prophets have said, and the Lord didn't change his mind.
No, he
has not changed his mind. And it is a weak person who will say, oh, well, I guess we didn't get that. No, no, no. There is a fight. There is a fight to receive what God has for us, isn't there? Amen. There is a fight to the finish, isn't there? Because the enemy does not want us to win. But as I was seeking the Lord about this nation, the Lord reminded me, you cried out for this. You and millions of others have cried out to me for the restoration of your nation. But like I said, if you're restoring a car, right, or if you're restoring a house, there's going to be exposure there. There's going to be the exposure of the rats and the rust and the decrepitness and what was there all along, but we didn't see it, right? All of a sudden, the awakening is, I was asleep and now I'm awake. To me, it used to look very romantic. Mm-hmm. It used to look like, yay, we're going to wake up in the morning and everybody's going to love Jesus.
Like Christmas and morning.
It's going to be something. Christmas morning every day. That's what revival looked like to me. But what it looks like in reality is exposure. And then waking up and a crashing in of the presence and the power of God to bring restoration and life again. In order to have revival, what do you have to have first? In order to have a resurrection, a revival, you have to have death first.
Mm.
And the thing is, we've been having death and not knowing it.
Yeah.
And so the Lord is saying, He's exposing. And there are wicked people getting in the way, and the Lord is using all of that. He doesn't waste anything. He is not a waster, and He does not lose, beloved. He does not lose. Okay, so let's bring that all down to your house in your day. What does that look like? The restoration of all things in your day, right now. It's exposure, isn't it? Are you beginning to see in your life, oh my gosh, that's not okay anymore. That is not okay anymore. And what about this over here? That's been killing me. That's a lie that I've believed all my life. And I'm going to replace that lie with truth. And I'm going to walk in truth. I'm going to walk in light. I'm going to come to life in that area.
It's being unafraid of letting go of the familiar.
Yeah, right.
You know, those patterns that we adopt because of a lie we believe, because that was what was taught to us, that became right. A habit, that aren't glorifying to the Lord.
That's right.
Fear mentalities, angry mentalities, jealous mentalities, those things that the Lord doesn't want you to be struggling in.
Insecurity.
Yeah.
Fear that leads to anger.
Right.
Another brief intermission here. Listen, every time you find yourself in rage, brothers and sisters, there is fear underneath that.
Yeah.
Anger is a secondary emotion. So when you find a raging moment, let's say you put a hole in the wall, or you cuss somebody out, or you, whatever it is, you lose your cool. Mm-hmm. There is fear involved in that. Mm-hmm. And when you take a good look at what's going on, and you allow the Lord to expose the lie that is terrifying you, you will immediately diffuse that anger because you're no longer afraid.
And then here's the deal. When you experience freedom from that, you will never want to go back in your whole life to what was.
Freedom is addicting.
It is. Okay, so the other day, I won't tell all the details of the story, but someone asked me to do something, and I started to do it, but I wasn't doing it correctly. And so the leader in the group corrected me. Like, in not in an unkind way, he was very kind about this. But usually, just because of pride and fear of man, that would have really messed me up. And like, oh my gosh, I'm so stupid. Why did I fail at that? Why did I even volunteer? I should know better. I should know how to do this. Instead of doing all of that and being arrogant about the things I should know, I just stood there, or sat there, and listened. And then I tried again.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't like bent out of shape over it. And I felt like me and the Lord had this moment of like, hey, that didn't bother me. Like I wasn't afraid when I was corrected that I did all this stuff wrong. I wasn't expecting myself to be perfect on my first try. Why do we expect ourselves to be perfect on our first try? I don't know. But here we are. So I felt, I like stretched into this freedom, like, wow, that was really fun. That was so cool to experience that. And I know that's a small thing, but I'm telling you, that perfectionist mentality in me was a big thing.
Which was rooted in, what was the perfectionism rooted in?
Pride.
And fear.
And fear. Right. I'm not going to get it right. I have to do it right the very first time. Like, you know, people are like, well, this isn't my first rodeo. Well, are we expected to have it right on your first rodeo? Okay. I don't know. I've just heard that my whole life. Like, it's okay if you get it wrong. Recover from that by looking at the face of the Lord, asking how to fix it, and don't be condemned.
Yeah.
I wanted to add to something you said, Sandy, about if you have given up hope over your nation, over whatever you're interceding for, the son that hasn't come home yet, the harshness of a marriage that's crumbling, whatever.
Whatever you believed God for and it didn't look like it came to pass.
Right, and you haven't seen it yet. And you've given up on that, just repent of that, which means come higher, come back up here. You don't have to give up and then be condemned over giving up and then it's all over now.
Mm-mm.
The Lord's heart is still to restore.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not mad at you, but he does want to partner with you. And he wants you to come higher with him and look with a new perspective on that thing you're believing for.
Mm-hmm.
Or things. It's usually more than one thing.
Let's take a break for our sponsor, and then I want to come back and talk about that a little bit more, because we need to dig into that.
Hello, friends. This is Greg with Greg James Designs. We design barndominium homes, metal building homes, and pole barn homes. If you would like to call us and discuss your project, feel free. 405-697-2110, or visit us on the web at GregJamesDesigns.com. We would love to talk about your project. Give us a call.
Okay, welcome back to Breathing Room. So glad you are with us. It is a privilege to us that you tune in. We want to hear from you. We want to know that you are out there and that you love what you're hearing. I love that. So before the break, Mariah was talking about how to recover when you don't feel like the Lord has come through. What do we do now?
Yeah.
How do we do it now? Because it looks like that in this nation. These words have gone forth and it looks like God didn't come through.
Yeah.
But he has come through and he is coming through. What is arrogant about us is we think we can see it all.
Right.
We think we know what's going on.
Right.
And we can see it all. And obviously, God did not do what the prophets said he was going to do. So they were false prophets. And we have prophets all over town just backing up and backstroking and going, I guess I was wrong. That is absolutely wrong. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely wrong. The Lord was right. We were right. And he is doing a work in our day such as we have never seen. And he will in you. So what happens when you're believing God and it doesn't feel or look like what you were believing God to receive? What if you're believing God for healing and you haven't seen it come to pass yet? What's the first thing you need to do? Can I give you some 1, 2, 3 steps going here? The first thing we got to do is slough off the hope deferred that begins to settle in on our soul. The discouragement that makes us question everything. Well, I thought that was God. Have I ever heard God? Is God ever planning to do this? What's happening? Am I not doing it right? Am I in sin? Let me help you with something. God intends to bring restoration. You will be a sign and a wonder in the earth as he brings the restoration that you're believing for. As the nation begins to receive the restoration that we have cried out for and received. The Lord is not judging you. Stop that and understand that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is the tree of life for us. So what I do in the spirit, I don't know how you do this, but I slough that off. I shake that off in the name of Jesus. I will not be hope deferred. I will not be discouraged. I do not see everything. I only see through a glass darkly, don't I? I can only see part of it. He sees all of it. Down here on the ground, I'm not seeing everything he's seeing. And even in the spirit, even as I come into my secret place, he'll show me more, but I can't handle everything. I can tell you that. You can't either. So I don't know how he's going to restore my kids. I don't know how he's going to restore my body, but I know his word.
Right.
And that is not deferred. And I put all my weight on the promises of God. I will see it come to pass in my day.
Yes.
I don't care how long it takes. It doesn't matter to me what dates have gone by. Right. It doesn't matter to me what official dates have gone by, that this is too late now. Oh, no. It is never too late for God. It is never too difficult for him. You should write that down and put it around your house somewhere. It is not too late for him. It was too late for Lazarus to be raised from the dead.
That's true.
It was way too late.
Days.
Days. 4 days. He was stinking in that tomb. Even the Hebrews, I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, even the Hebrews thought that the spirit of a man hovered around the body for exactly 3 days. So what does Jesus do? He waits till the fourth day to come. So then they don't have any other explanation.
Mega impossible.
Yeah, it's like the uber impossible moment, right? It definitely hope deferred. And yet, nothing was too difficult for him. It's too late. Your daughter has died. She's not dead. She's only sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn, and he sent them out of the room. There are some people you're going to have to send out of the room, beloved. We love them. Give them a cookie, but send them out of the room. Because we don't have time for the, oh, she's dead. You don't know she's dead. I know what dead looks like. This is dead. This is officially dead. This is it. The whole country's going down. This is dead. Oh, yep. This is it. I am telling you what. If Jesus is there, it's not too late. And he is here. Where two or more of us are gathered together in his name, he is there. And if we touch a thing and agree on it, it shall come to pass. I'm telling you what, if I die quoting that word from my mouth, I'll be a happy person. Because I'm going to see the will of the Lord come to pass in my day. I will see it. Because the Lord will bring it to pass. And I'm not backing up. And I'm not going to give the devil the game ball and go, oh, well, my hope is deferred. I'm depressed now. There's no way to get through this. That is a lie. If your children are still alive, there is still hope. If they're dead, there's still hope. We can raise them up. I'm just telling you, there is nothing too difficult for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So what is it for you? Where is the hope deferred for you? What lie are you believing that the enemy is then pouncing on it and sucking the life and the joy out of your days? What is that for you? I break that off of you in the name of Jesus. I break that discouragement off of you in Jesus' name. And I speak a word of hope to you that you are safe. It is not too hard for the Lord. You are almost there. One more step. You are almost there, beloved. Keep going. You know, it's funny. Every time I've gotten to this place of not knowing where it's going to come from, what's the answer? I don't know what it is. I am about one day ahead of that breakthrough I'm believing God for. And it always feels really dark on that day. It always feels really dark in that moment. It with all three of my kids, I got to the point when I was bringing them forth. I got to the point that I thought, I could die. This could be it. And the whole time the Lord is bringing forth new life and my body's thinking, yeah, I'm a goner. This could be it. Yep. Because I gave birth to all three of my kids naturally at home with no assistance chemically. And so, you know, I felt all of it. And the Lord blessed it. But I'm telling you, that moment right before I heard that baby cry, I thought, yeah, well, I don't know if I have enough strength to do this. You are there right now, aren't you? You're there right now. Mm-hmm. You're in that place of just not knowing how we're going to break through on this. I don't think there's a way to do this. I don't know how. But I'm telling you what, in the name of Jesus, one more day. One more day, beloved, in Jesus' name, it is not too hard for him. We join our faith with yours. Mariah and I join our faith with yours in Jesus' name. And we say, don't give up hope. Lay down that lie that says you are beaten. You are not defeated. There's somebody that is not in a safe place right now. I can see you, sweetheart. I need you. The Lord's going to bring a face and a person to mind for you to call right now. There's some answers for you. You need to get to safety. Get to safety first. And then he'll bring you the answer that you're needing. You're really, really close to the breakthrough. I need you to get into a safe place. And take this word with you. You will never be not safe again. Follow the leading of the Lord right now. Lord, I ask you to lead her. Lead her into a safe place. And to give her step-by-step instructions. What is coming for you is far greater than what you're leaving. This is not the end. It's just the beginning for you. So I speak safety and joy and peace and hope to you right now. The Lord sees you and he's directing you to a safe place, to a harbor is what I see. You're going into a harbor where he can reconstruct things in your world. And when you look back a year from now, you will not recognize the person you've become. In Jesus' name. I bless you in the name of the Lord. You should contact me. Let me know who you are. Because I can see you. I can see you. Bless you, honey. Bless you. Okay. Anyway, what is it for you that you're struggling with? What is it for you that you've almost given up hope? Is it the nation? Don't give up hope. We're not done. We're not done. It's not over. It's not over. The Lord's working. It's just started. There is an amazing resurrection coming for this nation. And is it your family? Yes, ma'am.
His heart is never your demise or your ruin or destruction. It's never like, he's not the kind of God that will say, well, I'm going to break your leg to teach you something.
Yeah, no. That's
you,
the devil.
That is not the Lord. A good father does not do that.
No, he doesn't. If I did that to my children, they'd arrest me for child abuse, as they should.
Right.
But we blame that kind of stuff on God all the time. Yeah, stop it. He's a good father.
He doesn't need Satan's help.
No.
To deal with us.
He doesn't.
He has all his own thing. Okay.
That's right. And he's good and he has good for you. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, in Jeremiah 29:11, to give you a future and a hope.
And to prosper you.
So I bless you in Jesus' name. Listen to me. April 24th is coming up in just a few short months. That's the next Breathe Retreat. It's coming up on April 24th. It's all day. It's from 9 in the morning till 9 at night. It's an interactive and immersive encounter with the living God. You do not want to miss this. If you've not been to a Breathe, you've never been to an event quite like this. Your life will never be the same again. I promise you. It is going to be life-changing for you. And if you have already been to a Breathe, you know that every time we do this, the Lord just increases and increases and increases what he does for us in that day. The time goes so fast, it makes our head spin. And yet, he encounters us, he washes over us. It is the most amazing event that I've ever been to, actually. So you need to come. You can register at breatheretreat.life right now. Registration is wide open. You can bring a group of 10 or more with you for a significant discount for each one of those. Contact me personally for that. Okay? We would love to see you there. You do not want to miss what is about to happen on that day. I believe the Lord is going to release a prophetic breath through the nation that will open up the nation to the move of God like never before. So we love you. Thank you for tuning in today. Thanks for sitting with us.
Yes.
Thanks for hanging out. We're actually in our car today. Thank you for hanging out with us today and helping us to just talk about things. We have to talk about these things. Women, especially women, but a lot of men too. They're processors. They're external processors, and we got to talk it out.
Yeah.
So we love you so much. Let us know what you think. Subscribe to this channel and share with your friends. We'll see you next Friday.
Love you guys.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.